Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 16. Wow, what an exciting day we got set for us today. And man, I've been getting lots of feedback from people all over the world. And man, all kinds of suggestions that people want to see. And we've been getting hits from all over the world, especially South Korea, France, Japan, England. And, man, it's been turning out to be something special. And we got people wanting to sign up to be sponsors for ads. Our main sponsor right now is A-Plus Payless Handyman Services. Check them out. And then, we got Stephen Bonner supposed to call in here shortly, UFC Hall of Famer and Real School Army member. Yeah, he's doing some announcing and doing some amateur boxing announcing again and some MMA stuff, all kinds of different stuff. So can't wait to talk to him. Then we'll have Northwest legend Stuart Kemp on after him. And then after that, I'll be doing a little bit of baseball report. And then about 1 o'clock, we'll have the infamous mystery caller call in. But on the line right now, looks like we got Stephen Bonner. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How's it going, brother? Long time no talk.
Yeah, going all right, man.
Okay, you got an event today, right?
Who are you there with?
Oh, I'm just here by myself right now. Sign guy couldn't make it today, and either could Sunny Days.
Thought you had a co-host.
I usually do, but shit, I wish I had you as a co-host. So, are you running your own podcast now, too?
Yeah, I just did the first episode, Fighting with Stephen Bonner. We had Forrest on there.
Okay, yeah, I'd love
Forrest
to be on one.
Forrest was my inaugural guest.
Okay, so. Great, yes. You and Forrest got the great story. If it wasn't for you guys, UFC probably wouldn't have blossomed to be what it was. So what a blessing your guys' story is.
He's easy to talk to. You got
all
good
right,
chemistry.
Nice. And then what do you got coming up now?
High rollers tonight, submission grappling, jiu-jitsu. So,
okay, and then
color commentator for that. I'll be hosting tonight with Jessica I as my co-host. And we usually have a couple surprise mystery guests. both to come in and do some guest commentary, like Rob Van Dam, MVP. We had Aljamain Sterling compete in the last one, so, last minute. That was a nice surprise. So looking forward to that. And then Fights of Fury, amateur boxing show, is next week, and I'll be hosting that too. So if you're in Vegas, go to the Westgate, check out the best amateur boxing show in Vegas. And there, too, usually have celebs come in. We had Coolio come and do a guest spot on the mic last show. And, you know, this is his first show since COVID. So it's been a couple years, you know.
Okay, yeah.
The great Ramon Montano is the promoter. Friend of mine.
Okay, do they have a website? What's their website?
Check out Fights of Fury. Never Quit Boxing Gym. Never Quit Boxing Gym on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And then the name of the show is Fights of Fury. But tonight,
okay,
High Rollers, check that out. We're going to go live right after the UFC fights at 7. It's the Cops versus Stoners event. So, yeah, it's going to be a team event. And you have the team of cops taking on the team of stoners. And going to have a super fight there. A couple UFC vets on that one. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Nathan Levy versus Chris Curtis. It's going to be the super fight. So.
Okay, and then who do you like in the UFC fights tonight?
Chidi Chidi Bang Bang. Chidi and Joe Kalani, my old sparring partner. He's the co-main event.
Okay, yes, so that makes you way more confident, of course. Yes, my money's on them, definitely. And, man,
yeah,
it's been an honor
good,
to work with you. Been an honor to work with you in the Real School Army, shit, over a half dozen times. I'm looking forward to working with you again someday. I know you're basically retired from wrestling, right?
You never retire from wrestling.
Okay, there you go. That's what I want to hear.
Never retire.
Right.
I'm on a break,
because
though.
Yes. And man, you've had a rough couple years there. It seems if you look at yourself today, man, you've almost fully rebounded, and if not stronger, as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm getting my strength back. So not quite there yet. But a few weeks ago, did a jiu-jitsu seminar with Forrest, and that was the first time I got on the mats and rolled. It was just a real big deal for me, you know, like I was on that walker for it seemed like forever, thinking, man, I'll be so happy when I could just walk again. And was, you know, last thing on my mind was being able to get on the mat and roll, but sitting on my right side, because that's where I broke the vertebrae in the sacrum, more on the right side of it. I couldn't even lay on my right side for 6 months. So to get back on the mats and roll a little bit and teach some jiu-jitsu is, a big deal for me.
It was a big deal for me.
Well,
why?
I was pretty sore the next day.
Oh, I bet, yes.
But
I was happy as hell when I seen that from, like I said, we've probably done a half dozen Real School Army seminars featuring you as the trainer.
Yeah.
And
J.D. Burns.
Man, I can't wait.
Rocky
Burns. And
good
John Gwynn
right
of
there.
Krav Maga. Yes.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
Of course, Peak Performance with good old Calvin.
Yes. And then we had the wrestling show up there.
You know, I'm always hoping, you know, to get you back in the Real School Army. I'm sure we got some unfinished business with DeBossi up here, you know.
Have you and Lyle been tagging lately?
No, I've basically just been managing and training with Lyle and some of the top trainers here at Fitness Quest. I'm sure you've seen that Lyle broke the shoot challenge log, the shoot log challenge, and he's the log challenge champion.
Sean Lyle, log challenge champion.
Yeah, 110-pound log. He did 115 times in a row in under 4 minutes.
Congratulations, Lyle, on that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And so what else is new with you, brother?
Give a big shout-out to Phil.
Phil, yes. We just went and worked out with him last week. He's got a new girlfriend, and they seem to be happy. He moved up at his job.
Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. So,
right.
And he's looking good. He's looking good, yeah.
Phil's a great
guy.
So,
you know, we're definitely due. I'm not sure how many of us are going to make it to Cauliflower Alley. I'm still hoping to. Definitely, if we do, want to spend some time with you down there.
Right on. What's the date on that?
It's the 26th through the 28th, I think. Let's see, it's a Monday through Wednesday. Yes, 26th through the 28th.
September?
Yes, this month.
Oh, that's coming right up.
Yes, it is. And then Kevin Sullivan's getting inducted into the Cauliflower Alley Hall of Fame. So I would definitely like to see that, even if I come back for 1 or 2 days. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just what, 9 days away.
Yeah, and do you have anything scheduled during that time?
Let's see. Let's see, Fights of Jerry's the 24th. You said it was the 26th to 29th?
26th through 28th.
Monday through Wednesday. I got, event on the 30th, but no, I'll be around. I'll be working.
All right, cool. And then you're still not doing your own gym yet either.
No, it's selling funeral insurance.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Doing. I got my life insurance license and working for a legacy funeral group and do pre-planning. Everyone's going to die, you know? Don't want to burden your family with all that, making all those decisions and having to fork out a big bill all at once, you know? When you pre-plan, you can finance it over a 10-year period if you want. Most people do about 5 years. And, get what you want. Now, don't leave it to, it's the most unselfish thing you could do, you know? Like, you have all your loved one, your oldest kid, making all these decisions on the worst day of his life. Family have to scrape up money and pay for everything all at once. Can't finance it after the debt. But before you can, so makes sense to sit down, figure out kind of what you want to do, and get a plan started.
Yes, definitely. How do they get a hold of you for that?
What do you mean?
For to get some insurance.
I go usually over to people's houses. Sometimes they come into the funeral home. But for the most I go to people's houses.
Okay, and that's located in the Vegas area.
Yeah, but the policies you take with you, you know. You could transfer it to any funeral home in the country. So
all right.
Doesn't matter where
you
know, you take it with you wherever you go.
Okay, cool. And then do you have anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Check out High Rollers tonight, man. It's an awesome show, really high-level jiu-jitsu and a lot of submissions, like about a 90% submission ratio. And, it's awesome. Like, it's like, reminds me of K1 back in the 90s. They had like a 90% knockout ratio. That's like the high rollers, you know. It's a really high submission rate. And, you know, it's really a work of art to watch a guy just go through and run through guys, tapping them out. It's amazing.
Okay, and then what's your contact info?
It's Stephan Bonner on everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I got my Instagram account back. They had suspended me for 6 months because I badmouthed the vaccine. At the hospital after my injury, the doctor asked me if I had the jab. And I said no, and then he wouldn't see me. And I got really pissed, got into it with him. And, you know, you badmouth a vaccine to a doctor, and, yeah, you're going to get suspended. That shit don't fly, you know. So I've been pretty well behaved just promoting my events. Like, just, yeah, that stuff, being silenced for that long. You know, you just can't tell the truth anymore, you know. You get in trouble for it. Like, all these people who have lost their YouTube channels, and even Tim Pool. Tim Pool is so, so careful with everything he says. He gets suspended. So it's just, we're living in a time where you can't speak the truth. You know, you get chastised for telling the truth. You get your account shut down. You get, you know, blacklisted. You get suspended. So, yeah, I'm just like in the mindset now where I'm just going to promote my events. You know, stay away from the political things because, you know, it's like, you know, living in a communist country, China or Russia back in the 60s, you know, you no more freedom of speech. That's gone. That's a thing of the past. No more freedom of speech. You get silence.
It does. It does suck. I try not to get political on here myself. It just, you can't win, it seems like. But hey, Stephan, I really appreciate your time.
You get shut down.
And then
I want to
let you know too. Anytime you got an announcement or want to come on for 5 minutes or 15 minutes, you're invited any day to come on my show, brother, to announce anything you like, or if you just want to send over press releases, I'll announce them.
Right on. Appreciate it, Coach Mike.
Thank you so much, brother.
All right, Real School Army.
Appreciate it.
Take care, Mike. All right, later.
All right. Appreciate it. Hey, all right, who else do we got on the line here?
How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
Slightly a mystery caller, yes.
This the mystery caller?
Yeah,
thank
you,
mystery
caller. Oh my
God!
Yeah. Press that button there, and the mystery agent shows up anytime.
Oh, okay.
He does. And it, so who else we got on here? Is this Stuart? Is this Stuart?
It is indeed.
Stuart Kemp, Northwest legend. Thank you for coming on.
Well, I don't know if I'll fall into the legend category, but I thank you very much, Coach. You know, it's always great to be able to know that you're vertical instead of horizontal. That's a good thing.
Yes, definitely. All of us. It's a gift.
Yes, indeed.
All
I'll take it.
Okay, now, hey, mystery caller, I thought you were going to call in at 1 o'clock so we can talk by ourselves.
Oh, well, I'm conducting a preemptive strike. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what, are you just going to wait around or call back? Either
I'd
way,
like
okay.
I think I'll probably call in at 1. I've got a homework assignment for you, Coach.
Okay, let me have it.
Oh, okay. The homework assignment, I looked this up last night. It's called Butch Reed Turns Face.
Okay. That seems easy.
And I've done a lot of analysis on this video, and I'm going to assign you a homework assignment. Yes.
Okay, I'll get back to it. So, yes, let me get back to my interview, please.
Oh, okay. I'll put one at one. Very good. Oh, bye now.
Okay,
just
thank you. All right.
Very mischievous.
Here we are with Stuart Kemp. Man, you got a long
way. Gee, you get homework assignments and everything else as you're going along. My God, you're a busy man.
Yes, I know. And then you're already scheduled for Cauliflower Alley, I imagine. Stuart. Hello. Stuart.
Yes.
Hello. Oh, sorry.
Yes, I was muted for a second there. I don't know why.
I muted you. I thought I muted the mystery caller. Sorry about that. I figured that out real quick. Okay.
So, yeah, no, I'll be arriving Sunday, but Monday we actually start signing up everybody for the cribbage tournament at the Cauliflower Alley Club. Not sure which room we're going to be using, but it'll be at the Plaza Hotel on Fremont Street. And, you know, we've had a lot of different wrestlers who participated. Cowboy Bob Orton won last year. A year before it was Kurt Beyer, who was the son of the original Destroyer. It is the Destroyer Annual Cribbage Tournament, which raises money for the Benevolent Fund for the Cauliflower Alley Club and has raised thousands of dollars for it. And, you know, that that goes back to helping wrestlers and boxers who may be needing medical treatment or other help along the way, which, you know, I was a beneficiary of 4 years ago when I had the strokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and I still don't know how to play cribbage, and Sign Guy still hasn't been to Cauliflower Alley, but
oh,
there's
man,
a chance
you,
I'm
there's,
gonna,
there's two for one there.
Yeah, and there's a chance I'm going to make it, and Sign keeps telling me he wants me to join the tournament no matter if I know how to play or not.
Well, we've got players that don't know how to play regardless. I mean, you can check out online and play that way. But, you know, it's like poker. It's like luck of the cards. You know, cribbage, for those who don't know, is a six-card game, two of which go into either your or an opponent's crib, depending on where the draw is at the beginning, and so you take turns. You make up to runs of 15 or runs of cards or jacks or fives or whatever else, and we can teach you. It doesn't take very long. But it was a game that was played back in the day. It's a historical game for a lot of the wrestlers. They would play it in the dressing room. It was one of those things that you didn't have to keep track of everything, so you could, you know, play a couple hands and go out and do your match and then come back and finish off the game. It goes up to 121 points, and that's declared the winner. And we play a best 2 out of 3 falls on the cribbage tournament so that everybody gets at least a couple of games to play. You know, last year we had, in the finals, we had Kurt Beyer and Cowboy Bob Orton that squared off, and Cowboy won in 2 straight falls. But the year before, Kurt won in 2 falls himself. So you just never know who you're going to play. We've had, you know, the Rebel Bill White, who unfortunately passed away a couple years ago, who was one of the guys who brought me into the tournament. The Destroyer, who unfortunately passed away a couple years ago as well, was the originator of the tournament. We've had Alexis Smirnoff, Butcher Vachon has played, and a few others that have played as well. So, you know, we encourage people to come and check it out because it's always a fun time just to sit down, shoot the breeze, and just play some cards.
It is, and you got information for the fans on CAC on the hotel or websites or any information on the event?
Yeah, so they go to CauliflowerAllyClub.org. So it's cauliflower, as in the vegetable, CauliflowerAllyClub.org. There's the that's the website, and you can check out all the different things on there, learn to become a member. I'm a lifetime member myself. I joined the club back in 2014. Been told for years, oh, you've got to join. I never did because I always thought it was just for the elite guys, you know, being WWE or WCW or whatever else. And I finally made the plunge back in 2014, and I was thinking to myself, you know, why haven't I done this before? And that's what a lot of these guys are. I mean, I'm talking to a bunch of different guys now that have been in the business for many, many years and have heard about the club but have never really joined. And they're thinking of getting involved or have gotten involved. So it's kind of great to be able to sort of reminisce. What's great about the CAC, and you've been there many a time, to be able to reminisce with some of the guys that you worked with or seen on TV or read about in magazines or whatever else, and this is an opportunity to rub noses with them and shake hands and whatever else and just learn a little bit more about the business that we love.
Definitely, yes. It's such a blessing, and it's such a great event, such a great time. There's nothing like it, you know? I mean,
no.
It's, I mean, in words don't really describe it, you know, like I say.
You've got to be there to see it. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that, you know, as I said, I went there in 2014, my very first time. And a year later, I mean, it was, you know, I became a member that year. And then I, you know, asked my wife if she wanted to join. And I made her a lifetime member as well. And I'll give you a quick story. So we had... we were going to rent a car that year in CAC just because it's easier to transport ourselves. And we ended up taking a bunch of wrestlers to and from the airport and so on. That's how I sort of really became involved with it. But we were at one of the stops for waiting for the shuttle to go to a rental car. And my wife looks over and says, you know, I think that guy might be a wrestler. You see this guy in this long overcoat, black overcoat, and different colored hair and so on and so forth. And I said, you know, I don't really want to bother him. And she says, oh, yeah, we're going to check out who it is. Well, it was Maestro. And, you know, we sort of struck up a friendship with him right then and there. And he wasn't able to get the rental car because he'd rented a car the night before when he was in Carolina. And they hadn't transferred back his funds back to his account, so he couldn't use the car to rent a car. So we said, yeah, we'll just take you wherever you need to go. And so we ended up working the show that night at the CAC at the Gold Coast. And we ended up taking him to Sam's Town. And, you know, he was just forever thankful. And, you know, it's just the relationships that you develop along the way there that, you know, it's just a good feeling to be able to do that and to be able to see that the different faces. You know, I haven't seen this person in so long and so on and so forth, and it's like you never really left them. You know, the conversations are there, and it's just a phenomenal event to be able to be part of.
It is, and my goodness, one of the times I went there, you had a tragic event happen and almost didn't make it home, and I thank God back then that you recovered, you know, and I want to thank
you. Well,
I
sort of recovered. I mean, I don't know if I've survived. That's the thing. For people who don't know, so I suffered two strokes within 8 days. My first one was at Colorado Valley Club as I was closing up shop for the day. I found out that we were going to be doing announcing that night from one of our guys that worked some shows for Empire Wrestling Federation in California. And so I was heading down the escalator, and that's when the stroke hit me. And I didn't even know what it was at the time. You know, all the lights started swirling around. My legs felt like sand. My forehead was on fire. I still don't know how I made it to a chair 8 feet away from where the escalator was. Still trying to figure out how I got off that escalator because I couldn't lift my legs. I managed to get to a seat, and this lady who was a good friend of ours saw me, and she summoned a bunch of friends over, and they got ice from Subway, I think it was right next door, and they tried to cool me down, and they called an ambulance, and you know, they took me to the hospital. I'm not going to name the hospital just because I don't feel that they treated me with the urgency that I thought they should have. Because I would have the same features 8 days later when I, you know, had my second stroke. But to give you an idea, so I couldn't go to the bathroom, I couldn't urinate or anything like that, and so they filled me full of saline solution when I was at the hospital so I could pee, and it was like coming out like dark brown. But they released me saying that everything was normal. I don't think that was normal. But I went back to CAC that night. Stro and I actually competed in the strut-off, the Freddie Fargo strut-off at the Red Film Bar in Gold Coast. I drove a bunch of wrestlers to and from the airport that night. I flew home. And just 8 days later, I had the second stroke. I remember being transported into the ambulance, and one of the ambulance attendants said that I had a blood pressure reading of 269 over 169, which basically would be dead. They tried a surgery the following day, and the I remember waking up and seeing this guy looked about 90 years old in front of me, said, "I can't go any further. I'm afraid I'm going to kill you." So I went to another hospital, and they ended up doing surgery. The mortality rate had blossomed immensely from what it was before, and they were able to knock one of the blood clots out in my brain, because I had both sides of my cerebellum brain that were blocked, which meant that I was only getting 10% blood flow over my the mid part of my brain, which was the cause of the second stroke, which I had a Borrella stroke. That affects all your senses, your sight, your sound, your taste and smell. I mean, I was very lucky that that I was able to still see, although I was legally blind when I was in the hospital. I'm actually able to just wear, I can go to a dollar store and grab glasses if I want, but I got prescription glasses because they just stand up a little better. But I had to learn to swallow again. It took me a year or two actually get the tubes out of me to be able to actually swallow properly. But even now, I'm only about 75% of what I can do. I still have problems with swallowing dry foods and so on and so forth. Sometimes I have issues with coughing a lot, and talking for extended periods of time can sometimes affect me. So I have a lot of liquids to sort of help that out. Balance is still not my friend. I use a cane to get around, but I mean, I've seen some other people. I mean, we lost a wrestler that passed away a couple years ago from a stroke. He had his first stroke when he was 30 years old, and was never able to talk again, and died just a couple years ago. He was a Russian state wrestler. Just sad what you can see of some of these things. But the type of strokes that I have only affect usually people in their 70s and 80s, and here I was only 50 years old when I had that. So, it's a pretty scary thing for sure. But I'll tell you, without the support of everybody, I don't think I would have been able to live. But one of the things that I wanted to mention about the Cough Alley Club was that they contacted my wife to see about helping me out when I was in the hospital. They provided some funds to help my medical bills, which had amounted to, if I hadn't had the insurance and that sort of thing and they hadn't written some stuff off, I'd be looking at over $1 million for the cost of my hospitalization, because I'm in the hospital for 6 weeks. It was, and all the therapies I went through and so on and so forth to just try and survive again. But I was really amazed. They reached out to us and helped us out. Carl Lauer, who unfortunately also has passed away. My God, all these people passing away. He passed away last year, but was instrumental in securing the funds to help me out during the time I was suffering from the stroke. And I really appreciate the CAC for stepping up and helping out a guy who had never been anywhere. I mean, I hadn't been to the WWE, I wasn't in WCW, never been to Japan, wasn't in Europe. I just did the Northwest Stiff, but I appreciate the fact that people remember me. It's funny, I was at a CAC event that year in 2014, was playing cribbage, and this gentleman who I haven't seen for a few years at CAC, but came up to me and said, "You're a Bulldog Bob Brown Jr., aren't you?" And I said, "Well, I haven't wrestled with him for a while." He says, "I remember a match you had back in 2001, and here was 2014. I'm going, 13 years later,
wow.
I remember this stuff. It's just like, I appreciate that that I meant something to them.
Yes, that's one of my standard questions. What's one of your most memorable matches you've either seen or been involved with? And you are on his list.
Yes, I guess so. But my favorite matches, for sure, there's a couple of them. Ladies' Choice that I wrestled in Nanaimo was a phenomenal one because for the longest time, he was the villain. He was the pretty boy. And in Nanaimo, our the fans there really, really loved the bad guys. And, Ladies' Choice looked at me and says, "This isn't going to work because I'm the bad guy myself." I said, I'll make him change. And I went out there and I found, in the front row there was these three teenage girls and, I made them really hate me and, I came up with this thing. I said, "I'm your only choice." Music hits, out comes LC. and they start cheering for him. All of a sudden, all the crowd starts cheering for him. They start hating me, and LC comes off with this incredible frog splash to finish off the match. It was phenomenal. We get to the back. He says, you know, what the hell was that? It's just like, you know, well, that's what we do. Another great match I had was against Honky Tonk Man in Redmond, Oregon. You know, he doesn't like wrestling Doink the Clowns because they always get makeup on his suits, but I wrestled for promoter Jerry Gray on that show, and so Jerry had a mask that he would use him for the clown, and I wrestled Honky Tonk on that show, and Honky Tonk said, you know, what do you want to do? I said, you tell me. He said, you know, you're the guy who tells me what, you know, what we do. And so we're out there, and he says, you want to take a post? I said, sure, let's go for it. And so, you know, I flew across the ring that was about 18 across and bounced off the post, probably about 6 feet or so. Honky looks at me and says, geez, man, you okay? I said, yeah, man. I said, I bounced off. I'm all right. He says, you want to do it again? I said, sure, what the hell, why not? So we did it again, and we finished off the match, you know, shake, rattle, and roll, and, you know, I can tell you right now, I probably won my whole career, probably, I can count them on one hand, probably about 5 or 6 matches, I think, altogether, and lost everything else, and, but it was just the fact that people wanted to see me. It was just amazing, you know, you got this guy who is the perennial enhancement talent, but they want to see you, you know, and it's, it's a testament to what you do. You know, if people want to see you, then we've done the right thing.
Exactly. There's so many qualities you can have in wrestling, and that is definitely a valuable one right there.
Yes.
Because
people get crap on the enhancement talent, but if it wasn't for them, the stars would never have been born, shall we say.
Yeah, and then it doesn't matter what you look like. You could be every type of shape, size, form, and as long as they like you, you did something. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, as long as you're getting butts in the seats, that's all that matters. You know, the promoter sees you, and you're getting butts in the seats. You know, they'll bring you in every time.
Exactly. Okay, so let's get back to the standard interview. Which
sure.
We actually really haven't even started.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I talk off on a tangent.
No,
I apologize.
It's fine. No, it's fine. It's just I just sort of went off on a different pattern. But
absolutely.
What got you in? What got you into the crazy world of professional wrestling?
Isn't that weird? It's a weird story of mine. I had played team sports for a few years, soccer and baseball and so on and so forth. But, you know, I always got into arguments with the coaching staff. And I don't know why. You know, I thought I was a nice guy. Maybe I'm not. I saw my first show on TV, Stampede Wrestling out of Calgary, Alberta, on CKBU in Vancouver. And I was just hooked at that point. I'd seen, you know, matches like All-Star and so on and so forth, but there was just something about Stampede that drew my attention. And went to a few live shows and so on and so forth. And, you know, I don't know if I was just a real fan or something like that, but I wanted to see the mecca of wrestling. And in Calgary, it was the Victoria Pavilion. And so at that time, probably about 1985 or so, I remember listening to a sports talk show on radio up in Canada, and there was a guy who was just slamming all over Stampede Wrestling. Well, he was supposed to be some guy that did some sort of bringing of guys and so on and so forth, never did, and so he was just slamming them left, right, and center. And I called up the guy, and I talked to him off here one time. I said, I don't know who this guy is. I said, but, you know, if you need numbers, I can get you numbers, you know, to talk to the right people. So anyway, he sort of hemmed and hawed about it, and I talked, you know, a few times about it, and finally he said, all right, I'll give him a call. And he did, and he says, yeah, all your numbers checked out. He says, would you like to be on the show? I said, I'd love to. You know, here I was a fan of the shows, and I got to be on the show with Tom McGee and Bruce Hart, and it was a phenomenal thing. And Bruce asked me one time, what do you aspire to be in this wrestling business? I said, I'd like to be an announcer. He says, well, you know, if we ever need an announcer, we'll let you know. And at that point, we sort of let it go. And I went out to the mecca of pro wrestling in Calgary at the Victoria Pavilion, saw the show there that night in December of 85, and I met up with Bruce Hart while I was there. And he said, all right, he says, we're going to give you a quick audition, you know, to be an announcer. So he says, I want you to announce the first person that comes through the dressing room doors to do the interviews, because it was right after the shows. They do the interviews for the various towns they're going to be at. Well, it's Bad News Allen that's running, you know, coming out of the dressing room. And so I announce him, and so on and so forth. And he looks at me and says, what the hell was that crap? You know, it's just, you know, just you know, it is viciousness. And, you know, Bruce says, yeah, he says, we definitely like you. You know, he says, we can use you, we can use you. Well, it was April of 86, and I'd been at a show in Vancouver, and the guy there said our announcer that was supposed to be in Mission, B.C., which is about 45 minutes away from Vancouver, can't make the show. Can you make it? I said, sure. He says, I'll pick you up. We'll go. So I announced my very first show on April 30th of 1986, and, you know, I just loved it, and so I traveled around to a lot of the various communities around B.C. and Alberta to see the shows and to announce them and so on and so forth. And it was in April, probably December of 86, that I was out in Calgary at the Pavilion when I happened to be invited to the back by Smith Hart. Well, speaking in the back there were Duke Myers and Cuban Assassin, Angel Acevedo, and they were talking to each other about Dynamite Kid. Well, Dynamite Kid had just suffered a major back injury while he was wrestling in Hamilton, Ontario. And, you know, basically it is his career. You know, I mean, he worked a few years after that, but was never the same. And so I did the smart thing and just sort of broke into the conversation of the two of them, you know, who am I sort of thing. And Duke took a shining to me. It was amazing. And, you know, gave me all the details, you know, where he was convalescing and so on and so forth, gave me the details on the surgery and everything else. And so, you know, being the smart fan that I was, I called the WWE offices, you know, hey, I want to know more about this. Well, it's never aired on TV. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, we can't comment on things like that. So, you know, was I dejected? Not at all. I thumbed through my magazines and found Stanley Weston Publishing, which became G.C. Lynn Publishing, Bill After Magazines. And I called up the magazine and had to speak to Bill After. Well, sure enough, they put me through. And that was a very strange thing. And so I talked to Bill. He says, you know, told him about the story. And so he says, we're just putting magazine to bed. He says, can we give you a call back in 45 minutes? I said, sure. So I left him my number and my name. And I said, I'm not going to hear from him again. You know, no big deal. Well, sure enough, 45 minutes later, you know, I'm up in the bathroom and my mother calls me. And she says, you may want to take this call. I said, what do you mean? She says, it's New York calling. So I pick up the phone. I'm talking to Bill After. Stu Sachs and Craig Peters are both on the phone as well. Says, you might have a little information we'd be interested in. So I gave him the details about all this stuff. He says, where'd you find this information out? I said, well, I was in Calgary, and I, you know, talked to Duke Myers and so on and so forth. Well, who are you in this business? I said, I'm just a fan. I go to the shows. He says, we can't put that as a fan. You know, saw this at the shows. We'll call you the media liaison for Stampede Wrestling, and that's basically how I got started. I started doing the arena reports for PWI, for Calgary and for Vancouver, and the belts and that sort of thing. And then I started writing for Gold Belt Wrestling on the same premise, and then did Wrestling World for about 8 years, and then was doing sporadic articles for Wrestling Main Event. I think I wrote three of them all together for them. And in the meantime, broke into the business as a manager and then into four different incarnations as a wrestler and, you know, as an announcer in the meantime for all the other things, Conley commentator, basically everything you could name that I could do in independent wrestling, I did. And unfortunately, then, as I said, I was going to go into my 32nd year for announcing at CEC when the strokes hit me.
Oh, man, what a story and what a career you had. My goodness, if I did half the stuff you did, it'd be what an accomplishment. My goodness.
I enjoyed it. You know, and the thing is that, you know, you didn't have to be a star to be something in this business. You know, you didn't have to be the name per se. You know, you see the Hulk Hogans and so on and so forth. You know, we make our names. You know, you yourself and others have made names by just being who we are and forging for what we can.
Definitely. Okay, and then did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I did a little wrestling in high school, not a lot, but a little bit of weightlifting and so forth. But I excelled at drama kind of thing when I was in school, and that's basically what gave me the insight to be able to talk. You know, for some people who can't do interviews and that sort of thing, that was one thing I didn't have a problem with, was the gift of the gab. And that sort of wrote into the magazines as well, where I could, you know, put my thoughts on the paper and give them an insight into the wrestling business to see what was going on in the Northwest. Because I thought the Northwest area was horribly underrepresented. I mean, we saw some out of Portland, we saw a lot of San Francisco and so forth, but really nothing in Calgary and Vancouver, and it was very unfortunate because, I mean, there were names galore that were coming out of these areas that just didn't have any push. And I don't know if any of the columns that I did, you know, out of the magazines ever made it, you know, to the desks of Howard Finkel or Vince McMahon, but, you know, guys like Mike Shaw and so on and so forth, Bad News Allen, who became Bad News Brown in WWF or WWE now, and so on. I don't know if they made it out of the magazines or not, but, you know, if they did, great. If they didn't, well, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I gave them as much press as I possibly could.
Okay. And then I do have a caller called in. We are blessed to have my co-host from Turnbuckle Turmoil on the line. And I'm sure Sign Guy would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
You know what, Sign Guy, I don't drink coffee. It's a funny thing. You know, I've never enjoyed it because it's too bitter. But tea, I'll do. Earl Grey would be my favorite.
And then you have the
Earl Grey
Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Hot, yes.
And then you have been on Turnbuckle Turmoil, I would be willing to bet.
I did. I appreciate Sign Guy for giving me the opportunity. Actually, he also helped in getting me in contact with Zillaman to be able to make the T-shirts that people could get on ProWrestlingTees.com, which help out the medical bills, because I still have some of those, because I'm having to go through a lot of different things. For those who don't know, so right after the strokes in 2021, I had something called FSGS, which affects your kidneys, your pancreas, and your liver. And basically, I was probably days away from having a kidney transplant or at least permanent dialysis if I hadn't been heavily medicated. I've been working with my kidney doctor for now almost 2 years and am almost at a point where the numbers are starting to recede to a point where I'm sort of, but not completely out of the woods yet, but where I'm not going to have to look at dialysis or kidney transplants in my future, which is an amazing thing. I feel very sad for Jim Valley, who's having to go through dialysis and possibly a kidney transplant. He's been pushing the T-shirts on his King of Recovery. You know, I'm not sure if I'm recovered. I'm probably more of a survivor than anything else. But I'd love to be able to talk to people about the strokes and give them an insight onto how to deal with them and deal with the new normal that comes with it.
Yes, and Sign Guy just told me before he got on the line he wanted to push your T-shirts. And I know Sign's a big T-shirt guy. I'm not really a T-shirt guy, but I am I'm glad, you know, I like to donate money to you guys, and I'm proud and honored that I was able to, and hopefully I'll be able
yes,
to donate.
Yes, we do appreciate that. It meant an awful lot. You know,
yeah.
As I said, the medical bills were high, and they still have medical bills because I've got to go in every month now. Fortunately, every month from every 2 weeks, but I was going every 2 weeks for a year and a half to get blood work done. They had to take vials of blood for me to test all the things on me to see how my kidneys were working and so on and so forth. So, you know, there's those, and I still have to deal with other medical issues. So, I'm still dealing with all that. I think we're dealing with less than $1,000 now, but still, I mean, that's quite a huge chunk that I have to come up with every month to pay. So it's a good thing that people are buying the shirts, and I appreciate that. If they go to ProWrestlingTees.com and look up my name, Stuart, which is S-T-U-A-R-T, last name K-E-M-P, they can get either the more exposed than a male film star T-shirt, which is the medical expense, or the best abs in the business shirt, which I had made because everybody thought that I should, because that was my whole thing for many years when I was wrestling, as I had the best abs in the business.
Wow, okay. Hey, and then do you still got your GoFundMe?
I don't, because that was ended. I don't. They only allow you to do it for up to a year, I think it is.
Okay.
I think they can go through Facebook funds or something like that if they want to. They can just look up my name again, S-T-U-A-R-T, last name is KMP, and they can deal with it that way. I appreciate every support. They can even come to CAC and help out. That's wonderful, too.
And what's your PayPal?
I don't have one. I wish I did. But again, I've not been one of those techie guys. I don't really know all these things. My wife has Venmo, but I haven't. Maybe it's just my loss of mindset. I don't know. But I think Facebook payments is usually the easiest way to do it.
All right. So we're getting down on time here. It looks like we got about 9 minutes in your part of the show. And
sure.
Sign guys on location too. Sign guy, what you got? Like 15 minutes left.
Right in there, yeah. I pulled up to the venue for my booking a little bit early. Traffic was much better than anticipated, so I got a few minutes.
Okay, so you got a question for Mr. Bulldog.
I will start off with the question I ask whenever I would see his wife right after the strokes. How are you doing?
Well, as I said, the eyesight is a lot better now. I can go to Dollar Tree and pick up glasses now, but I did have prescription glasses made just that they have the plastic lenses in them so they don't break. But balance is definitely my issue. I use a cane to get around, which people look at you and they go, you don't look like you should be using that. I said I just don't feel very balanceable. I think the best way to describe it is like a really bad drunk, stumbling all over the place, and that's what I do. I think a lot of it is just the fact that they didn't get to me soon enough to be able to get through all the recoveries of the strokes, but the fact that I'm still standing is a good thing. I do cough a fair bit on dry foods and some foods as well. My speech therapist was very surprised that I was able to handle liquids, because usually that's one of the things that they say is one of the last things to recover from. But I was able to do that sooner than I was able to do other things. There are some foods that I just can't eat. Some foods that have a weird taste to me. It's not COVID or anything. It's just the taste that is a little bit weird. I don't swallow properly, so there's, sorry not to gross people out, but sometimes food doesn't travel down my throat like it should. It goes up into my nose, so I start coughing in there and have to blow out food. It's a very strange thing, but it's just some of the things I've had to learn to live with over the last 4 years or so. I appreciate the fact that I'm sort of, upright. I still sleep with a pillow that's like 30-degree angle so that I don't choke out at night, which can happen on your saliva because I don't swallow properly during the nighttime. So I just survive. That's all I can do.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're doing much better.
Well, I do better than I was, for sure. I mean, people have said a lot of positive things, so I obviously don't notice it so much just because it's just me. From where I was, where I was having to be in a wheelchair all the time because I couldn't stand, to being in a walker for many months, to a four-legged cane so that I could get around, to being on a single-point cane, it's progression for sure. I won't say recovery, I'll say progression. There's always things that you might have to deal with, but I've been very thankful for the surgeons that did the surgery on me to be able to get the blood clot out, to my speech therapist to help me to work on swallowing and speech, because before, I couldn't talk very much either, so they've helped on strengthening my vocal cords, which is a big thing for stroke victims, and then sight and so on and so forth. So it's just There are some issues that I have. I still have some nerve damage in my hand and my left shoulder and upper left shoulder area and my left foot. But considering that I could be confined to a wheelchair, I'll take what I can get for sure.
Yeah, what a blessing. And then we're getting down to the end here. I do have more of my standard questions, so I'll probably have to have you back for a short interview later on. I'd like to talk some sports with you, too. I know you're a huge sports fan, hockey also. Who are some of your favorite sports teams?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, obviously it was the Vancouver Canucks and the New Westminster Bruins that were my favorite. I always watched Philadelphia Flyers action or Boston Bruins just because they were, good teams to watch, even though they had the Broad Street Bullies back, you know, when I was growing up. And, they were always the rough, tough group. You know, every time you went into the Philadelphia Spectrum, you were in for a fight. Obviously, you know, if you're listening to the radio, I'd be listening to them play in Chicago, and the old Chicago Stadium, where the visiting team had to climb up stairs to get to the rink, was always an interesting thing. You know, it was just always fun. But several years ago, I became the president of the Portland Winterhawks Booster Club, and I moved out of the States. I've been doing that now. It's hard to believe it's been 15 years now. But I run the club. It raises money for various charities. So here I'm a charitable guy, and I appreciate all the people that have helped us out, and we've helped out a lot of different local charities get the funds they needed to continue their programs and do right by the youth. Our big event is Shop with a Hawk, where we parlay up a Winterhawks player with a kid that's not going to have Christmas to be able to experience Christmas and mentorship from a Winterhawks player. And imagine some of these players get go into the NHL. So some of these kids that are walking around with some of these players are going to be walking around with future NHL stars. So it's pretty phenomenal that way. So I appreciate that as well.
And did you get a chance to see the Portland Pickles back in the day?
I would have liked to have watched the Portland Pickles. Actually, I talked to one of the guys who was the president of the Pickles. I'd love to see the wooden bat classics, because I know that those would be fun, because I used to play wooden bat style, and those would always hurt your hands a lot, you know, especially if you didn't have any protection on them or tape on the bats, because those, when a ball comes to you about 70 or 80 miles an hour and try to sit it the other way, it's, it definitely takes a toll on your hands for sure.
Yeah, and then did you see the documentary about it?
I did not. I would like to see that. And one of the things I'd like people to check out if they have a chance to see documentaries at all is the one that was done on Tony Condello out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, the promoter. It's a phenomenal thing. It talks about the Northern Hell Tour and people who want to, they're WWE fans and so on and so forth. Guys like Rick Martel, Edge was on that tour. Bad News Brown was on that tour. They would go up into those northern areas where the only way you could access them was by helicopter or by driving the ice highways on a bus. And there'd be some interesting things that you'd do that on for sure. You'd be on that bus for 26 hours from Winnipeg to your first town, and those would be some interesting times. Fortunately, I never had to do that. I only did the BC one, which was about 12, 14 hours away. But those were interesting times just on their own for sure.
And then who's your favorite baseball team?
Oh, man. Well, Canadian-wise, Toronto Blue Jays. Overall-wise, I'd probably pick the Pittsburgh Pirates myself.
Okay, and then you're talking about the Philadelphia hockey team with Bobby Clark coming down the ice with no teeth and no helmet back in the day when nobody had helmets.
Yes, well, he was well-protected by guys like Bill Barber and so on that became noted for the Broad Street Bullies there. For those who don't know, Bobby Clark was a diabetic and probably shouldn't even play the game. But he did a lot of things to train and get himself in condition so he could play. And he played for many, many, many years. And, he had a few times where he got into a few fisticuffs and lost a few teeth as a result of it. And, you know, that big smile, you know, reminds me so much of Mike Shaw, Makan Singh, who had the same kind of teeth knocked out there in the front there.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like our time's about up. It looks like I do have another caller on the line. But before I let him on, do you have anything you'd like to plug or promote and how people get a hold of you?
Well, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can reach me at Bulldog Bob Brown Jr. 1, which is Bulldog Bob Brown Jr. 1, number 1, at yahoo.com. Love to hear from people because it's always a great thing to see. They can check us out on Facebook, you know, under my real name, Stuart Kemp. They can, you know, see what sort of frivolities I'm trying to go through. Or they can see me at the CAC, you know, when I'm there this year, as I've been there every year since 2014. And love to see them, you know, play some cribbage as well.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. And then, yes. We have the mystery caller on the line. And, Stuart, do you have a question for the mystery caller? I think you might know who he is.
I do. Who is he? He's mystery.
Mystery caller.
Some people call me budget deficit. Yes.
Oh, dear.
They call
me budget deficit for sure?
Oh, yes. I'm on the minds of most Americans. Like the budget, yes.
The question I have would be, what was your very first sign that you made, and why did you make it?
Well, that's steeped in shrouds of mystery. I'm usually a freelance haberdashery of political comments, and I believe this translates into the signs I make. I think I made one for the ring announcer, Dimitri, that had something to do with R. Kelly. Yes.
Oh, it's only 3 years in jail, huh?
Yes.
Ouch.
All right.
Too soon?
All right. All right, Stuart. Thank you, brother. Like I say, you're welcome to call anytime or send me any press releases if you'd like anything promoted.
Absolutely, and thank you very much to the Green Room for having me on today. It was very much appreciated, and Coach, as always, it's always a great time to be able to talk to you, and you know, if we don't see you at CC this year, hopefully we'll see you in future years, and Mr. Guest, I hope to see you as well.
Oh, okay.
All right, wish you all the luck in the world.
You betcha. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourselves.
All right, sign guy, the guy who's so fly, he's never going to die. He doesn't tell a lie. Let me tell you why he's better than baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie. How you doing, brother?
Not too bad today, Coach, with the most coming at us from coast to coast. You don't mean to brag, but you have to boast because you knew all along it was a real estate scam and not just a ghost when it came to Scooby-Doo.
Before you give a question to the mystery caller, let the fans know what you're up to right now.
Oh, around 5'8".
Well, besides height, I figured that out immediately.
I am preparing for Northwest Pro today at the Key Peninsula Civic Center in Vaughan, Washington. Vaughan, Washington, near Purdy, Washington, which is where they keep the women's prison. I don't know if the mystery caller has spent a lot of time there or not.
Well, I do research a lot about prisons in the United States. I find that subject fascinating, especially ADX Supermax in Florence, Colorado.
Well, I understand you're quite comfortable in a prison setting.
I am quite comfortable in a prison setting. I often take tours.
And is Prison Sex from Tool one of your favorite songs?
Oh, I from Tool, I'm going to have to listen to that. Prison Sex, huh?
Yes. It's quite the ditty.
Boy. Quite the ditty. Oh, okay. Well, that's my homework assignment, yeah.
Okay. And then Mr. Sign Guy, do you know if you're the founder of Turnbuckle Turmoil and our former co-host who's on leave, QT Vokes, might be coming to the Northwest Pro Show tonight?
Hopefully. It's been a while since he's been there. I believe his last appearance at Northwest Pro was January, maybe. It was when they were at the Key, but it's been a while since he's been to the Key Peninsula Civic Center. Hopefully he'll show up. Maybe he'll bring the mystery caller with him.
And, of course, the mystery caller has called Turnbuckle so many times you can't count, right?
I lost count after, like, 37.
Okay. All right, Mr. Caller, what are you up to today?
Well, I'd like, now you mentioned budget deficit before. He had a famous quote that made the rounds in the Northwest, and that was, pro wrestling is the purest example of blue-collar work ethic in the United States.
Wow, it is. And I'll never forget budget deficit, which at the time they were calling him budget defecate because they're making fun of him. That wasn't very nice of the fans. But he came to our muscular dystrophy fight for muscular dystrophy event, and he was a major sponsor of the show. On top of that, he helped do some cooking, and he even arm wrestled Annie Richards. Do you remember that?
Well, now, a budget deficit was suffering from a slight rotator cuff tear that he had on a trout fishing expedition, I believe in Canada, yes. So Annie Richards
And then I heard he lost $10 to the little kid at ringside on that arm wrestling match also.
Well, no budget deficit. He was watching his how would you say, monetary intake, kind of like George Costanza of Seinfeld. He only gave that girl a dollar to keep things fair.
Okay. I'm sure their parents were pissed.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Sign guy, we know your time is money. I know you probably only have a little bit of time left. Do you have any more questions for the mystery caller?
Yes. Now, mystery caller, when you factor in everything that could be factored into a factor, how many cups of hot chocolate do you think old Ken Hamlin can drink at the standard cross-country meet?
Ken Hamlin, okay. Would he have taken a diuretic laxative before this hot chocolate drinking binge?
I'm going to think he probably passed on that.
I see. I'm going to say he'd probably drink a half a gallon of hot chocolate.
Oh, okay.
That's a lot.
We're going to have to get him on the line to confirm that.
Oh, that'd be huge. Coach, can you get him on the line, interrupt his hot chocolate drinking so we can find out with 100% accuracy?
I think I got too much going on during the show right now.
This is a major important thing that all the fans are probably wondering.
We'll have to try to get him on next week.
Oh, that'll be huge.
And then we got a huge show coming up, October 1st, Bethel High School ABC Days. Real School Army will be in the house with PWF, World Underground Wrestling, NGW, CPW, and many other leagues from the Northwest will be represented at Bethel High School. I hear even Darth Carter is going to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to fight him.
Yes, and I'm sure we even got you signed up to ref a couple of his matches.
If he makes it that far.
That's true. He's got to get past you first. I heard he's scheduled for 3 matches, though.
He's only got 2 eyes. I'm going to take 1 eye each match, so I don't know what he's going to do for the third.
Now, mystery caller, do you think you're going to be able to make it to the show in Spanaway, Washington on October 1st?
Wow, October 1st? That's a pretty good possibility. I have fond memories of Spanaway, Washington, yes. I saw budget deficit in the ring, and I believe he was carrying a guitar, and that was one of the only times that he was in the ring with Coach Mike Jones.
During the mini rock and wrestlings at the historic Uncle Sam's Amphitheater Oh, my goodness. What those were the days.
Paul Heflin illustrated Road of Uncle Sam's in a column one time. It got like half a page of press in PWI.
It did, and you were even featured big time for your MMA fight.
That's because I made history where I became the first person in the entire history of planet Earth main event an MMA show and then open the wrestling show. That's when I wrestled the Bossy.
All right, and then is the Sign of the Times coming up today?
Have not filmed it yet. We'll probably be filmed a little bit later, and hopefully it'll be uploaded no later than 11:58 p.m. Pacific time.
Hey, Mystery Caller, did you know Chicken Bob's been having a rough time lately? So how's Chicken Bob doing, Sign?
He's feeling better.
Are his wings tired?
Yeah, he just flew into the venue and Warrior his wings are tired.
Yeah. He just flew in from Chicago.
Okay. Now, Sign, do you want to ask the Mystery Caller the infamous first-timer question for my show?
Mystery Caller, how did you get into the crazy world of professional wrestling and how did you get into the Coach Mike Jones show?
Well, I think my DNA of my involvement in wrestling started way back when I was a youngster and I was watching Portland Wrestling on TV way back in the mid 70s. No, wait a second, was that there? Oh, yeah, early 70s, yes. And I was enthralled with the likes of Playboy, Buddy Rose, and let's see, who else? Oh, Haru Sasaki, a wily veteran from Japan. It was so long ago that just traces of anti-Japanese sentiment were being still stirred about publicly from World War II. And Haru Sasaki had to be sometimes carried into the sports arena in a suitcase. He was kind of small of stature. But, yes, I saw the territorial days of Portland Wrestling, and that laid my DNA blueprint of my appreciation of wrestling.
Wow.
How did you ever go to watch wrestling in Portland, Indiana?
Portland, Indiana. Doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, okay. It's a real place, and occasionally someone will run a wrestling show there. Coach, have you ever in Portland, Indiana?
I have not. I've been blessed to be in Indiana with Mr. Sign Guy, but not to Portland, Indiana yet.
We're going to have to get you booked there. I'll make a few inquiries.
Right on. Yeah, that sounds fun. Can't wait to go back.
Well, you're going to have to. I haven't made the inquiries yet.
All right, Sign. Let everybody know what you got coming up and how they can contact you.
Well, I'll have Northwest Pro later today. It's the 7 p.m. bell time at the Civic Center. I'll be at the Bethel School Days on the 1st, ripping the eye out of that idiot Darth Carta. So if you like a sport with a lot of violence and you don't see, like, people getting their eyes ripped out as a bad thing, come down to the Bethel School Days. I'll probably be in 30, 40, 50 matches like a typical Bethel School Days. But it's going to be multi-promotional happenings going on there, so that'll be a great time. The Sign of the Time should be up by 11:58 p.m. Pacific time. You also can follow me on the Book of Faces, the Twitter, the Gram. And if you go to the blog Talk Radio, search Turnbuckle Turmoil, you'll find us on there as well.
Okay, and then who do we got coming up tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have Wild Man Beast. He is a buddy pal of Chief Atakula Kula and Diafula Dabashi. They've made the roads for years now. Well, man, he's making his first appearance with us, though. Could be an interesting show.
Right on, Sign. Do you have anything else you'd like to plug or promote, or ask the mystery caller?
All right, don't forget you can also follow Chicken Bob on all the social medias. He loves his social media. And don't forget, you could also go to the Pro Wrestling Tee, that Stuart Kemp shirt, something I helped design, the first one anyway. We commissioned it to Z-Manzilla, like Stuart mentioned earlier. That's still available at ProWrestlingTees.com. I bet if you bought one, Matt Nix himself would put it in a package and mail it to your house.
Nice. Right on. All right, Sign. Thanks so much. Honor and blessing to have you on. Appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right on. All right, back to the interview, Mystery Caller. How you doing?
Well, very good, Coach. Now, you asked to start off the program, how did I get involved in wrestling, and I told you about the impact that Portland Wrestling had on my DNA. I'd also like to point out that I was deeply impressed with the feud of Apache Bull Ramos and Dutch Savage.
Oh, yes, that was quite the classic. And, man, I guess they would say they've wrestled hundreds of times, too.
Well, you know, Apache Bull Ramos would he would gave pretty good promos. He would often look into the camera and say, white man speaks with forked tongue. And he often challenged Dutch Savage to an Apache strap match.
Okay, but he probably didn't go, you white man, me pale face. He didn't say that, I bet.
No, he didn't say that, no.
Okay. All right, so Mr. Mystery Caller, who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was sports, music, wrestling, or ordinary life, or all of the above?
Ooh, well, my heroes, I really didn't have – let me see. On the silver screen, I definitely was aware of Jack Tripper of Three's Company. Jack Tripper made a very important impact on me. Suzanne Summers, she was also a very well, I was aware of her, but I thought Janet of Three's Company was a very good straight person. In comedy, you know, a straight person often looks at the person that's over the top, like Jack Tripper was, and is the straight foil to them. So I was very aware of Janet. Welcome Back Cotter made somewhat of an impression to me. I think one of my favorite characters was Juan Epstein.
Okay.
Okay,
okay,
and
yeah,
that's pretty cool. In cinema, those were who I was well aware of.
Okay. Now, you can find Gabe Kaplan's, one of his first TV performances was on comedy on the Johnny Carson show way back before Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yes, a lot of people made their debut on the Johnny Carson show. And, you know, if he called you back and for a curtain call, you know you had made it. I believe Drew Carey made his debut, or fairly close to a debut, upon the national consciousness, Drew Carey on the Johnny Carson show.
Yes, he launched many a careers, and he had like three different deals. It's like, even if you weren't scheduled to be invited to the couch, if your performance was good enough and the crowd was off the chain so hard, he had no choice, and he would just automatically wave them over to the couch. Then there were situations where, like, you could tell they didn't have time to invite you over no matter how good you did, because the guy could, like, rock it again, a new guy, you know. But Johnny would still give him the okay sign. So you could tell that they weren't able to invite him over, but he still got the okay sign. Then, of course, the third batch would be just the guys that just he didn't say nothing, and they just left.
Well, that begs the question, Coach. Who do you believe is the Johnny Carson of Northwest Wrestling? Who pulls the strings, and if he likes you on first sight, you can pretty much have a fairly good career in Pacific Northwest Wrestling. Who's behind the scene pulling the strings like Johnny Carson?
Well, maybe Matt Farmer, since he's got control of Defy and who gets to go there, since they don't use hardly any local people. But I have another exciting tidbit about, well, he was one of my heroes, Johnny Carson. I read both of his books. They're hilarious. They're great. They're must reads. Where you pick them up, you want to read the whole thing in one weekend, you know. But Janet from Three's Company was Johnny Carson's in-between girl. In between Johnny's three divorces, Janet was his girlfriend.
I did not know that. Janet, huh?
Yes. Yes. She's a good girl.
Wow. Okay. That's well, Janet, you know, like I said before, she was one of the best, I think, female straight persons that I can remember in especially the 70s.
Yeah. Now, what can we say about Jack? He was barrels of laughs. He was right there with people like Benny Hill, some of the most funny people in the world. And it was a tragic how he passed away.
Yes, he passed away at a fairly young age. I think I want to say he was 62.
Wow, okay, 63. Yeah. Okay.
You know, and he brings up a subject about wrestlers dying young. What age did Ravishing Rick Rude pass away? I know you're in encyclopedia knowledge of wrestling. What was Ravishing Rick Rude passing?
I think he was 40. I'm not sure,
wow,
to be honest, but I think he was 40.
40? Ooh. Wow. Okay, about Kurt Hennig?
I guess we can Google them. I got a lot going on here, though, so it's like I'm trying not to do extra stuff because I got my switchboard and, like, I already got 10 things open.
Okay. Never mind about that. But I can research and get back with you. How about how old was Kurt Hennig when he passed?
I would think they were around the same age.
Ooh. Man, okay. Boy. Well, I know Kurt Hennig and Ravishing Rick Rude, I believe they went to the same high school in Minnesota.
Oh, yes, a whole bunch of those guys. The Road Warriors. Yeah, there's like five or six different guys.
Wow, all right. And I know that Andre the Giant, I want to say he passed away at 48?
Yeah, I think that's right. 45 is right, yeah.
Man, okay.
Yeah, that's sad also. Okay, so
yeah.
let's get back to the interview. One of the standard questions from Turnbuckle Turmoil is, Sign Guy and our fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
Ooh, coffee. Now, that's okay. Well, I usually go with the K-Cups, and there's one called, I believe, let me see. It's kind of expensive. It is Death Wish coffee.
Okay, yes, we've heard of that.
Yeah, it has a skull and crossbones like the Rogers.
Yes. Okay, and now, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Yes, I was on the track team there, and my favorite event was the high jump, although I wasn't very good at it. That was the event I most liked, but I didn't turn out for it on the team because I could only clear about 4'8", you know, in junior high.
Oh.
But my hero was Dwight Stones, the guy that set an American record at 7'7¼". He was my idol, Dwight Stones.
Okay, yes. And that's back in the – right after the time when I had Bruce Jenner's poster on my wall. Now look at him.
Oh, yes, Bruce Jenner, he – well, I don't want to speak disparaging of anyone, but quite an interesting life turn, yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, okay.
I managed to run the half mile, and there was another runner that was kind of inspiring that won a gold medal in the 800 meters, 72 Olympics, Dave Waddle.
All right. Okay.
As you might remember, Dave Waddle took off on that Olympic run, and he was in last place after the first lap, although he ran that lap in like 53 seconds, but he was still last, and he was still quite far behind. But on the back stretch, he started to catch up to the runners. And then with about 200 meters to go, he had passed, he was drawing close to the Kenyan runners from Kenya. And the final stretch, he passed two Kenyans, and at the very last two steps, he beat the Russian. So he was an influence.
Wow, what a story, yes. Okay, and then what was – I know that – no, well, we don't know. We have a good idea who you might be, but that's okay. We don't need to get to the bottom of it because you're pretty – you're the infamous mystery caller. You're pretty popular, so there's really no reason for us to reveal who you are or even look into it. We're grateful that you call. Thank you.
Oh, you know, I believe people should have an aura of mystery about them. I'm sure you remember a wrestler named the Big Machine in Japanese wrestling. He wore a mask, but the people were kind of familiar with him. Yes.
They were. Yes, that's true. And he was quite the power wrestler.
Oh, he was huge. I think Gorilla Monsoon was in, no, it was, I can't remember his name. Bobby Heenan wasn't interviewing him. Mean Gene Okerlund was interviewing him, and he was going, Big Machine, you look kind of familiar. Have I met you before? That was pretty funny.
Okay, so since we have an idea who you are, we have an idea that you've been involved in the military as a high-ranking official from, I think we got that from sources out of Shelton, Washington. So anyway, the question is, what's your self-defense background?
My self-defense background?
Yes.
You mean you're asking if I have indeed had a military background?
Well, no, we say we suspect you had, so we would imagine you've got hand-to-hand combat and probably some more stuff up your sleeve. So we're just wondering.
Well, no, I don't really have I do have some amateur wrestling skills, which is one of the most important, at least top five skills you can have. Very good amateur wrestling background. It'll help you out in street fights. I'd say MMA is a little bit more important than wrestling, maybe, unless you're Dan Gable or Kale Sanderson. Kale Sanderson being the NCAA wrestler that was never defeated. I mean, I'm sure Kale Sanderson could beat most MMA fighters out there. But I'd say I rank MMA above wrestling. But I have the amateur wrestling skills to, defend myself, although I'm kind of old right now. But anyway, that's and maybe one day I might take up MMA for senior citizens. Yes.
But you can confirm no military training.
Oh, let's just say that I myself spent some time sailing near the ABC Islands, which is Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao, and in the Straits of Florida and in the Gulf of Mexico. And there's a strong possibility that I did so in a military capability, and also off Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Very strong possibility.
We thought so. Okay, so
it's just,
what's some of the most memorable matches you've seen? Or we'd even suspect you've been involved in a couple matches.
Oh, well, let me see. The ones that jump out to me was Tulalip Championship Wrestling. I really enjoyed that venue. It was held in Marysville, and I saw some very good matches there, and some stuff that pertained to wrestling, like Damon James Bro Show, where he drinks some Rockstar energy drinks with a guest he would invite to the ring, Damon James. I also saw Aaron Bowles' retirement announcement in the ring at 2-8-Up Championship Wrestling. Aaron Bolo.
And he's a Turnbuckle Terminal Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is. And, you know, as you might know, Coach, Aaron Bolo had received quite a few concussions in his time. And the last concussion made him throw up and pass out. So he announced his retirement at Tulalip Championship Wrestling. That was kind of a pivotal moment. I remember Lila Lodge in the Tulalip Championship Wrestling ring, and she used a bowling ball as a foreign object.
Who was that against?
Can't remember, but his legs were spread in a V form. So all the males present, all the males in the audience kind of gasped.
And then you were present at Bolo's last match.
Well, I may have been. I know that was his retirement announcement. I can't remember the last match that I saw Aaron in.
Because I heard that was against El Fantasmo.
Ooh, that might have been it.
Okay. All right, yeah. Wow, yeah, I really enjoyed watching Bolo wrestling and working with Bolo and being in the locker room with him and just being around him. He's a great guy, doing promos with him, working shows. Yeah, he's really missed.
Well, and another tag team that I immensely enjoyed at Tulalip Championship Wrestling was Rolling Too Deep, Wild Card, and Cadillac Callus.
Okay, nice.
They were fantastic. I think Cadillac Callus stole a French fry off my plate.
Oh my goodness! That's a crime.
Oh, yes.
And then what about matches back in the day that you really enjoyed?
Well, Coach, I never tire of seeing you in matches, you know.
Thank you, brother. You
cut your way around the ring very well. You know, I've analyzed your matches from afar. And I know, and I hear that the mystery caller is a big fan of yours. Well, me, yes. The mystery caller, I have analyzed your matches and your promos.
Well, Thank you, brother. And hope to get you in the NGW, the mystery caller in the NGW green room someday.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes, I will. I'll certainly see if that's in the future. Sure. Yes. But,
okay.
You know, go ahead.
What's that? No, go ahead.
You know, I also like Kellen Rayet at Tulalip Championship Wrestling. Kellen Rayet was a talented wrestler.
Yes, definitely. We miss him also. Who are some of the toughest people you've seen in wrestling?
Well, you know, for a big man, Tyson Tank comes to mind. He can absorb a lot of punishment. Tyson Tank.
Oh, yes.
You know, he pretty much comes to mind. And, you know, of course, Diafula Debashi, he's taken some punishment. And he recently got injured. Well, I don't know about recently, but he's fighting to get back in shape. I wouldn't want to fight Diafula Debashi in an alley. Tough guy.
They're both tough guys. And, of course, Tyson Stewart has retired from wrestling since. Man, I've had lots of battles with him. It's quite the thing to rock bottom that, like, 350-pound dude. It makes quite the impression in the mat there.
Oh, yes. Boy, you can say that again. Yes. But, folks, you know, I've talked about Tulalip Championship Wrestling. I also was known, I'm not a stranger to blue-collar wrestling down in Portland, Oregon, or a suburb of Portland. And it was there that I became a pretty big fan of Psycho Sailor. Psycho Sailor.
Yes, okay. Was he drunk at the time?
Oh, I may have had a beer or so, but Psycho Sailor, he had a certain rapport with the crowd. The crowd would always burst into that YMCA song from the Village People, and I don't think Psycho Sailor liked it that much, but I liked it.
Yeah, and then once you get him pumping into that YMCA song, you got him by the balls, basically, because you got him. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was Psycho Sailor that recruited or tried to recruit to his stable of wrestlers a young J.B. Moonshine and J.D. Moonshine. Now, Psycho Sailor had them come in the ring, and he announced that JD and JB Moonshine were seaman apprentices, and they were under his boot camp training, and they even carried an oar into the ring. I thought that was a seminal moment in blue collar wrestling.
Wow, a seaman apprentice. My goodness, that's impressive.
Yeah, he was kind of like the drill sergeant in the Navy. And he goes, when I tell these moonshiners to jump, they say, how high? I thought that was pretty good.
Since we know you have a long knowledge of wrestling in the area that dates way back to the Claw, Beauregard, the Outlaw, many classic wrestlers in the Northwest. So what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Oh, boy. Well, I think the explosion of popularity in MMA could easily translate over to professional wrestling. Now, of course, you and I remember the territorial days. You know, now it's pretty much all corporate. I think, in my opinion, the territorial days were, at least for me, the territorial days had kind of like a bigger impact. Now, the Attitude Era of, the WWF was pretty good. That made a huge impact, like with Stone Cold Steve Austin and I think Triple H, just that Attitude Era, Now, I'm not so sure I like the product as much as the late 80s and 90s, but you mentioned Beauregard. He actually cut an album, a rock album.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't remember hardly any of Beauregard's matches, but I distinctly know that I think Patty from Patty's Home Plate and the main sponsor of Blue Collar Wrestling has a Beauregard album in her hamburger restaurant, Patty's Home Plate.
Okay. Okay, and that's on South Tacoma Way in Tacoma.
Oh no, that's in a suburb
of
Portland.
There's also a Patty's in Tacoma. All right, cool. But yeah, they're different. Yes, but it's not Patty's home plate, of course. Yeah. Yeah, it's Patty's burgers, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any? Have you heard of any schools you'd like to promote?
Schools in what sense, Coach? Like NCAA Division One?
Any type of schools, pro wrestling schools, non-liberal schools. I'm kidding you.
Oh, well, it seems like, Coach, nationwide that a lot of these colleges are going woke liberal, and I'm not even going to touch that subject. That disgusts me. Woke liberalism on college campuses. None of them could last with a claw, or even Beauregard, or Bull Ramis.
Exactly.
So.
Yes. And Frank Stojak have something to say about that.
Who's that?
Frank Stojak.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You don't remember him?
Boy. Not really.
Okay. He was before your time. Okay.
Well,
Coach,
we were talking about Beauregard cutting an album. Are you familiar with this phenomenon called the 27 Dead Club?
The 27 Club, yes.
Well, for one thing, I'm glad Beauregard never succumbed to that. And, lot of people immediately when they think about 27, of course, they think about Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, and Janis Joplin. But I was stunned to find out that there was a lot of other people that people probably don't know about that made that list. One being local girl called Mia Zapata of the Gits.
Oh, yes.
She went to the Gits and was murdered on Capitol Hill.
Yes, and they finally found out who it was.
Oh, boy. Who was it?
I don't know the guy's name off the top, but it took him like 20-something years to figure it out, maybe more.
Wow, 20 years.
Yeah, I think it was like last year they found out. Last year they figured that out, yeah. And that's where Kurt Cobain wrote the song Rape Me About.
Oh, no. Actually, Coach, now I could be wrong.
Oh, it's Pauly. Pauly,
yes.
He wrote. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, Pauly was about an adopted girl that was held hostage.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a tragedy. Yeah.
And then I know you're a big fan of the Monkees and the Banana Splits. Who are some of your other favorite bands?
Oh, well, let's see. I kind of like some of the Doors stuff. And there's another person that died at 27, Jim Morrison's girlfriend, Pamela Corson.
What?
She died of a heroin overdose. But
and I don't think I'd be
going.
Hey, I don't think I'd be going out on a limb to say that Mad Cow was one of your favorite bands.
Oh, Mad Cow Line Dance by the Sea Squirrels. Yes.
Okay, there you go. Sea Squirrels. Okay, there you go. Got that mixed
by,
up, darn it.
Yes, John Ahonen, another person that used to be a big, well, he's still a big wrestling fan. John Ahonen, yes, one of the founders of Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Yes, him and QT Vokes. We miss those guys so much. It's been such an honor. I've been able to take over for QT while he's on leave. And he's called in once or twice, but, you know, we really miss him.
Oh, wow. Well, I've listened to some of this QT. I never have met the person, but he lent a certain, let's say, esoteric questions, philosophical questions. They kind of threw some people off a little bit with his questions.
Okay, we got a couple fan questions here. One comes from Bobby in Olympia. They want to know, what's your opinion of the impact of Piper's Pit?
Ooh, Piper's Pit. Now, that kind of laid the groundwork for Precious Polly's Flower Shop, I think. And I believe Damon James of Tulalip Championship Wrestling was influenced by Piper's Pit. Now, I think a segment that stands out, of course, was when Andre the Giant was on Piper's Pit, and he lifted Piper with one arm. And, of course, there was the famous coconut incident where he broke the coconut over Jimmy Snuka's head.
Yes, that was classic.
So.
My goodness.
All right.
And then we got a question from the dreaded, infamous Darth Carter. He wants to know how gangs in New York in the 1800s, like the Dead Rabbits, the Plug Uglies, or the Daybreak Boys, laid their foundations for pro wrestling in the 1900s.
Oh, okay. Well, as you know, or probably don't know, the Daybreak Boys specialized in looting cargo along the waterfront. You know, they'd have their skiffs or small boats, and they'd roll up to these cargo ships and go on board and plunder and loot. You know, they were pretty successful the first couple times, until rumor got around that this gang called the Daybreak Boys were breaking into ships, and then they armed the sentries or the watch people, and had a lot of deaths trying to board these ships, and they kind of faded away into obscurity. Yes. How that relates to wrestling? Well, you know, I don't know. There's a... Sometimes I guess Psycho Sailor may have been influenced by the Daybreak Boys.
Okay, yeah, just by his personality alone, yes.
Oh yes. Uh huh.
Okay, and then do you have anything else you'd like? Okay, yeah, keep going.
Well, let me see now. If I could touch on that 27 club, there was a guitarist and keyboardist for Bad Finger called Pete Ham, and he died by hanging, suicide by hanging, Pete Ham. You remember him?
I know Stu Ham, the bass player, but I don't know Pete, the other one, no.
Okay. How about Amy Winehouse?
Yes, I know of Amy. She was a partier.
Yeah, yes, I'm afraid she was into methamphetamines and a little bit
That was just to say the least. I think she was into everything.
Boy, I hope not heroin, but who knows? I don't know. Do you remember Ron Pigpen McCurran, keyboardist for the Grateful Dead?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a huge Grateful Dead fan.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, back in 1964, when they first started jamming, Pigpen McCurran was the lead singer and not Jerry Garcia. And Pigpen McCurran was a very good blues singer, and that's why Jerry Garcia was attracted to him, because of his voice. But Pigpen McCurran, like I said, he was a keyboardist throughout the 60s. He started drinking when he was like 14.
Wow. And he never was able to overcome it because it basically helped kill him, I'm sure.
Yeah, he was into he wasn't into like a beer as a teenager. He was into the hard liquor, like, whiskey. And he later hooked up with Janis Joplin and started drinking that Southern Comfort.
Wow. All right. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show. Do you have anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Yes, Coach. I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to be a part of a community play that I am putting together. It's a remake of Dumb and Dumber. I am now officially on the green room inviting you to play the role of Harry.
Okay, cool. Yes, that'd be an honor.
Could you play the Harry? Okay, we've got that lined up. I'm marking this down. Okay, what Northwest wrestler would you recommend to play the motorcycle cop, the one that pulls them over when they were in the Muttmobile, and he says, "You better hand over that beer if you know what's good for you, you punkin-haired freak"? Who could play that?
I think Wild Lyle did good in that one.
Oh, all right, Wild Lyle. Okay, I am marking down Wild Lyle for the motorcycle cop. Okay. Did you know that cop that played on Dumb and Dumber, he was in a movie called Down Periscope with Kelsey Grammer?
No, I didn't, but that was a fun movie. I liked that one.
Well, Coach, I'm giving you a homework assignment to look up Down Periscope, and I hope you can come across that part of the movie where Kelsey Grammer, the skipper of the sub, wants the whole sub to go silent, but he asks that motorcycle cop to make some dolphin noises.
Oh, yes. Dolphin. Wow, I know. Goodness. Jeez Louise.
But I think you're spot on with Wild Lyle to be a part of that of the remake of Dumb and Dumber, which I hope to put on. But who would play the female in Dumb and Dumber, the one that is an assassin? Would that be Lila Lodge?
Well, I think we should give that to Sunny Days.
Sunny Day, there you go. Yes. Okay. Okay, very good.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Lila Lodge in ages. Have you heard from Lila Lodge?
No, Coach. As a part of, I know a budget deficit. Budget deficit hasn't really heard of from her either. However, budget deficit is kind of in this rehab to battle diabetes, you know, and QT votes. And he used to keep track of Lila on Facebook, but, QT is kind of off Facebook now and concentrating on his diabetes. Yes. But Lila Lodge, I think she'd be a very, well, yes.
Okay, yeah, we sure do miss QT and can't wait to see him again. Hopefully get him back in the NGW green room.
All right. Okay. Well, Coach, good luck on your homework assignment on Periscope Down. The silent running is broken by that motorcycle cop that played in Dumb and Dumber when he makes porpoise sounds. And if you got time, and I know you're a busy man, Coach, you might want to look up the YouTube video, Butch Reed Turns Face Mid-South.
Mid-South. Okay, yeah, I got it all logged in here. Yes. Now, we know you're the mystery caller, the infamous mystery caller, but is there any way people can get a hold of you?
Wow, that Facebook pretty much carried my communication with the outside world. Yes, I'm afraid not. I guess I'll choose to remain an enigma and a mystery.
Okay, well, we hope to see you at the next event. We heard there's rumor you might be at Northwest Pro tonight. We hope that's true.
Oh, okay.
Well, hey, thank you so much for all you do and all your support for wrestling and the guys in the Northwest scene. And what you do behind the scenes also is a special. And we wish you all the luck in the world. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Coach, for your contributions. And may I say, you paint a General Akbar Skandar like a presence in the Northwest. Akbar Skandar.
Thank you, brother. The Real School Army is honored and blessed.
Oh, okay.
Thanks so much. The mystery caller, everyone.
Oh, yes, very good, and I'll keep you abreast of the developments on that community play of Dumb and Dumber.
Appreciate it. All right, everybody, there it is, episode 16 of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast with UFC Hall of Famer Stephen Bonner, Northwest icon Stuart Kemp, who was Bulldog Brown Jr. in the past. And then we got the mystery caller. It was nice that we had Sign Guy call in also. You guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Also at Coach Mike Jones at YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for interviews from people all over the world. And also the Seattle Mariners Organizational Report and the Cincinnati Reds Organizational Report. And every Saturday, the Coach Mike Jones Show at noon Pacific. I think next week, though, I will have to take next week off. We're sorry about that, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks so much, everyone, and we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Coach.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't wanna boast, but now I gotta roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.